The Ticket.
Podcasts are brought to you in part by Lewis Jewelers, the official jeweler of The Ticket and proud partner of Michigan Athletics.
And we are back on Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA, online at WTK.com. M Go Blog Roundtable crew. We have Brian Cook. We have Seth Fisher. We have Craig Ross. And in the break, Ira just poured cold water on this dream that Craig Ross having about J.J. McCarthy and Kay McNamara wearing the same number. Can't happen, right, Ira?
Yeah, so the rule that they amended a few years ago, and Seth was right, it stemmed, I think, from Michigan with the kickers and the punt or whatever with number three, but only two players can wear the same number. They cannot be on the field at the same time, and they cannot play the same position.
Well, they don't play the same position. One is a quarterback, and one is a single-wing tailback.
Fullback, but close.
Yeah.
They need a fullback.
Doesn't that work? Yeah.
They do need a fullback on this team. We were talking about like their short yardage before and their inability to score touchdowns. And I mean, that going back to the I was noticing it watching Nebraska as they were trying to do short stuff. They're trying to get really clever and try to run outside. And Michigan had that great play to stop them on fourth down. I think, Brian, you mentioned it in the podcast. When I went and watched it, it's even better. Like, they have their receiver coming down, coming across, and Morris knows what he's going to do. Morris knows he's going to get cracked. So he throws him off of there, occupies Martinez all the way out there until Hawkins can beat a block. And also, they've got Hawkins out there, not the cornerbacks. So, like, Michigan was ready for that. But, like, that's getting cute. That's getting fancy. And if when you got a fullback, you can just kind of, you know, bowl right forward.
I don't think a lead quarterback run is getting fancy. It's just I think Michigan picked something up on tape because as soon as that wide receiver motions in, Morris just has eyes on him the whole time.
He sure does. Uh-huh. Well, what I think, I don't know this, I think they watched the Michigan State tape. They walked into the end zone on that very play. So it's like, I mean, if you watched any film, which I'm sure they did, you watch it extensively, you saw that play. He's like, okay, we get in the red zone. They might try to do this because you're right. His head was right out there. Mm-hmm. You almost need to, if he's that cognizant of the crack coming, that is a no chance for the receiver. He's not going to block Mike Morris.
No.
It's not going to happen. And he strung it out. It was a great stop for Michigan on that play. But let's talk big picture because that's the defense. That was my biggest question mark for Michigan heading into the season. Now it goes back to corner. And, you know, who besides Dax, if you need someone to go out there and cover a guy, who else is, from a man-to-man perspective, going to be able to do that? That's my biggest question for the defense now. Who, as you look at the second half of the season, or give me your power rankings, if you will, and give me your odds of Michigan going into that Ohio State game undefeated, how you see the Big Ten shaking out?
Well, I mean, a lot of that depends on how injured Sean Clifford is, right? Because if he's out and Taquan Robinson is still in, I mean, that Penn State game doesn't look that threatening anymore.
Penn State lost their number 97, I think he is, their top
Mustafer. PJ Mustafer, yeah.
Yeah, he's out for the year, I believe. That doesn't help him either.
So, but if Clifford's back, he's been playing real well, and Michigan is going to have some problems with Jahan Dotson. So, honestly, that and Michigan State both feel like coin flips. Indiana's a mess. Maryland's a mess. So I would say
Northwestern, they're not a mess.
They were born a mess this year.
I wasn't even going to bring them up because they're so bad. But so, you know, I feel like the most likely outcome is that Michigan is probably 10-1 headed to the Ohio State game. But if Clifford is out, then that flips to the most likely record is undefeated.
Honestly. Ooh. Yeah, I'm not so sure about the Michigan State game. I mean, it might be a game at night in East Lansing. There will be Michigan fans there. But that, you know, the Michigan State's got playmakers on offense, and Thorne looks better every week. So I'm not so sure that I certainly am not writing off Michigan State this year. I mean, Michigan should never write them off because they find a way to bite us all the time. But so I don't know about that game either. not sure what you guys think about that.
Yeah, I'm focused on Michigan State before I even think about Ohio State. I could put together thoughts about Ohio State. I just don't – I want to kick that out to the fore. We've got a bye week. We've got, you know, Northwestern game will be like a nice little refresh, and let's see what we've kind of worked on. And then, I mean, the Michigan State game is going to be huge. And like that's going to be a real test for the cornerbacks. I didn't think that Michigan State was going to have a good passing game because I didn't believe in their quarterback situation. But as Craig said, it's a Thorne is getting better, and he can hit Reed and he can hit Naylor, and we can stop one of those guys. So I mean, if Michigan is going to discover something in the bye week, if they're going to look around and see that they've got something that might be ready, I really hope it's one of the young cornerbacks that we haven't seen yet, because Gray is their best cornerback by far, and Gray is very limited. And then Green has been mostly a disappointment this year. That fourth and six I thought was completely on him. And he continues to make mistakes that are like, geez, I mean, like, that was probably why he wasn't on the field before. So, I mean, cornerback, that's going to have to get fixed.
Yeah, it's – look, make no mistake, Kenneth Walker has been maybe the best transfer in the country with the way that he has run the football. I think that, you know, the Heisman talk with him or contention talk with him is legit. I do think that this – He is benefiting from the fact that he isn't splitting time with a Hassan Haskins or a Blake Corum, because I think both of those guys have been – they had tremendous I we can't get away from the Nebraska game really quick without talking about how good those guys were, how good they were in pass pro, the big runs they made in the second half, the yards that they made themselves. Both of those guys made yards themselves in that game. They're just playing at a – I mean, think about – and I mean, you chart this – how many times did those guys win their one-on-one battles? One-on-one with a safety or one-on-two on a bash run. I mean, those guys are winning those battles way, way more often than we've seen in years past. Yeah.
Well, the Haskins run is going to be one that you'll see long after I've passed. I mean, that's a run they're going to show over and over and over. Because, you see guys jump over defenders now and again, but you don't see him jump over defenders and then run for another 27 yards, which is, I think, how far he went. I mean, that was quite a astounding play. And so, yeah, Michigan has two great running backs. It's interesting that Haskins was a two-star and no one was interested in him. And Corum was a reasonably high-rated guy, but he wasn't considered a superstar like some of Michigan's prior running backs were. So yeah, those two have been a strength certainly of the team this year. Now one thing I will say is that Walker, while he's phenomenal, you can't say enough good about his ability. He was slowed down quite a bit by Nebraska. I mean, he didn't gain many yards in that game, and they held him to like 2 or 2.5 yards per rush. So, but Nebraska got to him early. Once he gets a little bit of room, he's tough. You can't, you got to stop him before he gets going.
So Michigan State has faced one good defensive line so far, and that was Nebraska.
Nebraska, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, he is going to tear you up if you are, if you can single block guys and shove them away, you're in trouble against Walker. Because as soon as he gets a little bit of a head of steam, he's killing you. This is,
yeah,
I'm more confident about that just because our defensive line play has been so, so much better than my wildest dreams.
Me too.
Yeah, all of us. Yeah, I mean, one thing you have to realize, Walker has played against Western Kentucky, Youngstown State, Northwestern. I mean, and those are three meatballs. And he's put up a lot of sort of, cotton candy yards
Let's not disrespect Michigan State. Okay, he is a Heisman candidate.
I'm not disrespecting him in the slightest.
We respect Michigan State all we want.
I want Michigan fans holding Michigan State up on a pedestal right now. Let's just keep them as high as we can. And if they happen to fall, then we can all talk after.
Hey, look, I mentioned this before. We were doing a show, the countdown to kickoff, and I give Michigan State credit. I give them credit for doing well, but, I mean, you got to limit it. I mean, at the end of the day, like Craig was just saying, some of these teams they've been successful against, they should beat. They should beat with the amount of talent they have, and they actually have some decent coaching. So, but I just feel like, you know, giving them too much credit is like, you know, giving their people credit for taking baths, which we know they don't do very often, right? I mean, we know that typically Michigan State people just have bad body odor. They just, when they take a bath, we recognize that they take a bath, but don't go overboard for giving them credit for doing something they should do. Anyway.
Let me, this is a general statement about college football. Nobody is really that good. These are all college football teams. So, like, you know, Iowa is number two in the country right now because Penn State came in and lost their quarterback halfway through the game. And, like, Iowa State wasn't as good as they really are. And they got credit for beating Indiana before we all realized that Penix was broken. But, like, are there, you know, any better teams than Iowa? Like, everybody's Iowa. It's just, like, you go and you play the games and things get close. And, like, Michigan winning on the road at Nebraska, it is a big deal because of that. Because, like, those are games that college football teams are going to lose all the time. And, I mean, we're all just college football teams. Michigan State's a college football team. They got a lot of mistakes. They got a lot of problems. We're a college football team. We've got a lot of problems. Ohio State, they're a professional team. They don't have as many problems.
But they have some. They have a defensive coordinator that is a glorified doorman, popcorn, go-getter. Get us drinks. Don't do anything at the game.
I would not call Kerry Coombs the defensive coordinator anymore. Right, I think that is a very defensive coordinator position.
He's not the defensive coordinator. They know that they gave it to somebody else. So let's not even, nobody's pretending anymore.
Yeah.
I don't know what he does. Like, he's the rah-rah guy. He's in the box. Can't be a rah-rah guy.
That's what he does.
I do want to get some Michigan hockey in. So weekend one in the books, your takeaways from the blowout on day one and then the comeback effort on day two?
Well, I mean, clearly most talented team that I've seen at Michigan, and I started going in like 97, 98. So there's been a lot of talent I've seen, but just the sheer amount of it, and they were still missing a first round pick because Beecher didn't play that weekend. But there's a certain way a crowd reacts, and there's like frustration in a crowd, and sometimes it's like, oh, we can't do anything. And the awe from Yost was like, oh, that was almost amazing. You got that like probably every 3 minutes, and then they scored a total of 14 goals. You know, they got some stuff to work on, obviously. Like, they're being super aggressive with their defensemen, and they are getting caught on some odd man rushes. That's fine. They'll work it out. The ability to drop guys into the zone from defense is really powerful, so they should keep doing that. But, yeah, I mean, I thought that these guys would take a big step forward. They have taken a big step forward, and some of the pieces they added are really important. Like, I love Dylan Duke. Dylan Duke isn't the biggest guy in the world, and he fell in the draft, but he was the leading scorer on the U18s for a reason. He reminds me of Blake Corum because he's not big, but if you hit him, he doesn't go anywhere. So he can just park his butt in front of the net, and that's a really important skill to have when you have so many other guys on this roster who are huge skill guys but aren't going to go win in the corners. He's a guy who's going to get you the puck and then get it to his guys, and then he's going to go crash and cash in those rebounds. So he's a big piece to add. You know, Hughes is – he's not as flashy as his brother, but he's really talented. And then Samoskevich is another guy like Brisson who just has – can put it top shelf whenever he wants. And that power play, like Lake State knew was coming on Saturday. They knew that Brisson's one-timer was the thing that they had to avoid, and they couldn't do it because Michigan had so much skill that even though they were specifically marking Brisson on that power play, he got it off anyway. So that's going to be Kyle Connor for that CCM line. Like, he's going to be that guy. He's going to score a ton of power play goals. So
yeah, I'm sorry.
I have some concerns about Portillo just because, you know, a couple of goals on Saturday were a little iffy to me, but I know that Dave, who covers hockey for us, was much more positive about him.
Yeah, I went through every goal on Saturday on the tape with Dave, and we ended up thinking the first goal where Portillo gave up a rebound was probably mostly on him, or though he could have had some help on that one with the puck getting cleared. The other goals were all, he felt, were all team problems, defensive problems, and not so much on Portillo. The Saturday, I mean, Michigan beat Bowling Green in an exhibition game, just demolished them 2 weeks ago, and I felt Bowling Green was terrible. But then they went out and played really good defense in their opening two games against RPI, at RPI, won 3-2 and lost, and tied 2-2. So that, I found that somewhat heartening. And I don't know how good Lake State is. Friday night's game was a complete blowout. But Saturday, Michigan's up 2-0, and then they just get careless as all get out. And they give up four goals in about a 10-minute span. And they're, you know, making mistake after mistake, getting the puck out of their end. And on one goal, Michigan had everybody down below the dots. There was no one back at the blue line. The puck kicks out for a breakaway. But then the interesting thing was they really did sort of get it back together, and then they score five goals. And so they win 7-4. So it's a team that I think, you know, if they don't get overconfident like they did on Saturday night, I think they should be a great team. I agree with Brian. I've been watching hockey for a lot longer than he has. I've been watching Michigan hockey since 1966. And I think this is the best team, or the most talented teams they've had, with the possible exception of the Morrison Botterill teams in the mid-90s, which were unbelievable. So, yeah, it's exciting. This weekend's games are going to be hard. Michigan has to go to Duluth. Duluth, I think, is number, what are they, three or four in the country, I think. And they are five. And then they'll play either Minnesota State or Providence. Minnesota State is number one. Providence is number 10. Michigan is sitting at number three right now. So this is a tournament or a, you know, grouping of games that could look a lot like the Final Four, Frozen Four, it's quite possible. And so you'll get a better sense about how good is this team. I think what Brian is saying about Portillo is, and I think he said it before, is that we just don't have data points on him.
Well, I mean, there's that. Yeah. And, you know, you mentioned the rebound on the first goal. And
yeah.
Through three games, his rebound control has been lacking. And that's something that, you know, it's a concern. And he's huge, though, and that's always going to help. And, you know, when he slides from one side to the others, there's really no room down there. So he's just kind of by virtue of being a giant guy, he's got an edge on a lot of other goalies. But you know, I think sometimes guys like that get a little overdrafted because they have a lot of potential. And we haven't seen him really, I think, excel so far. So,
and maybe that is part of, because I ask you, you know, you guys as my hockey liaisons, my hockey guys, my go-to guys, say, well, if Michigan is this talented, the most talented Michigan team we've ever seen, how is any, and all these first round draft picks, that being unprecedented, right? How is anyone ranked ahead of them? Maybe Portillo, it being one of the reasons. The other piece that Ira brought this up when he first mentioned it, he said, you got a lot of other teams that have more experience, veterans that are key players. But then I look at this game, and I'm going to ask Mel about this. I mean, think about who keyed the comeback. They're seniors. They're third line. It seems like to me they have all the ingredients, Brian.
It was Luke Morgan with the saucer pass to Jimmy Lambert. And I was like, all right, I guess they've been hanging out with Kent Johnson. But no, so they get those two guys back on COVID shirts, so they have 6 years. They have Van Wy, who's a senior on their fourth line. They have Moyle, who's been around forever. They have Blankenberg on their top defense pairing. This is not a team that is exclusively relying on young guys. They have some guys who are 24, 25. And, you know, I don't think it's the fact that Michigan's too young is going to be a problem, because, you know, that those first two lines are not going to be negative lines, right? They're going to be plus 20 lines. And so, okay, where do you get the grit from? Well, they got plenty of that. And they have a lot of experience on the back line too, because like their third pairing you know, it's probably going to be Ethan Edwards, who's got some sauce, let me tell you. But also it's going to be, you know, Person, who's a junior. So, and he was a 20-year-old freshman. So they have a lot of experience. And even the guys who are first-round draft picks, you know, three of those guys already spent a season in college. So sometimes you have sort of an adjustment year where a guy comes in and you're like, I don't really see it here. And then they take off in the last second half of the year. Like Pacioretty was like that. But these guys have already been around the block. They know what to expect in Big Ten play. And, you know, Kent Johnson's already a point per game player. So where is he going to go this year? You know, I feel like it's a little overblown, the youth.
All right. So okay. Go ahead, Seth.
I was going to say there's just two things I think, like, not people who don't follow a lot of college hockey don't know, is that number one, draft picks are not going to be as effective as like they would in basketball or football. Like your number one overall guys, like, they're going to have a lot of skill, but like hockey takes a long time to get really good at. And that's why there's a lot of teams out there that have like
a bunch
of 25.
The number one overall pick usually goes straight to the NHL.
The number one overall pick. Yes. I don't want to, like, if you have Alabama level talent coming in, you're not necessarily going to Alabama college hockey, because there's a lot of teams out there just have like a lot of 25-year-old, 26-year-old guys who've just progressed to like their ceilings. The other thing is early hockey rankings are just last year's rankings. Like I wouldn't pay attention to any rankings right now.
All right. So got to get a word in about Jet Howard. What do you guys think about the pickup of Jet Howard for the Michigan basketball team, real quick?
Well, you know, it's just really, really good that he can go into such a tough place and get a guy out of IMG. Like, that just doesn't happen very often. You know, I just, you know, you talk about recruiting prowess, and I think this really demonstrates that Juwan Howard is an elite recruiter.
I mean, especially in basketball recruiting, you know, late, like, the family starts asking for things, and like, you know,
the recruit's mom admitted she got a bag. The recruit's mom admitted publicly she got a bag. I mean, is Michigan in trouble, guys?
Like, he's got Jace, like, you know, talking to me like, look, my client is not going anywhere unless he doesn't have to clean his room all year.
But more seriously, you know, 6'7" wing who can actually get to the bucket. You know, I think Franz might be a fairly good comparable, where he's going to be a bit of a playmaker. He's going to be a diverse all-around wing. He doesn't have Franz's size, because nobody does. But, you know, a guy who I think is going to be a three-level scorer, and a guy who can drive some play as a secondary playmaker.
Yeah, the word I've heard is versatile, and from the tape I've seen, I think that's right. He's a very versatile guy. He can do a lot of things. He shoots the three fine. He can handle the ball. The one issue I've got with him, left hand. I mean, left hand, and what he needs to work on is left hand, and left hand some more.
That's also like Franz.
Yeah. Right. So, but yeah, he's obviously a nice pickup for Michigan, although not much of a surprise.
Right. All right, folks, that is going to do it for us this week. Another great MGo blog roundtable in the books. We'll be back next week. We'll focus on this week of college football, this week's Big Ten games, getting into basketball. Of course, we got Media Day coming up, so a lot to touch on the next time we're here. Ira and I will be back tomorrow here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTK, The Ticket, the official voice of University of Michigan Sports Ann Arbor, a Cumulus station.